Mark chapter 4 contains a number of parables that Jesus spoke, and these are the parables that we're studying from Sunday to Sunday. I invite you to read ahead and study these and to have an understanding of them even before we come together to worship. This morning we're going to look at several verses of Scripture, and I hope you will open your Bible to Mark chapter 4. And we'll begin studying at verse 21 and continue through verse 34. So we have a number of verses to cover this morning, but none of them are that difficult to understand. And each one of them deals with a particular thought. And I believe that thought is the dynamics of spiritual truth. And I guess the title of this message, I hope, will convey the idea that we are looking at the particular principles by which anything is governed. Dynamics has to do with the driving physical, moral, or intellectual forces of any area, or the laws relating to them. And in that sense, that's what I mean by the dynamics of spiritual truth. That is, principles that guide our understanding and our use of these principles that are taught. And I do believe that we need to be very specific in saying that these parables have to do with the kingdom of God. In Matthew, it's very specific, and here Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God. And in the other parables, the parable of the sower, we see the same expression. The kingdom of God is likened to. And that's why Jesus spoke in parables. And I believe the statement that without a parable, that is in verse 34, spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. The idea that Jesus did not speak except to speak in parables, we know has to have a broader application, or perhaps a narrow application, because he did teach many things simply by precept, by bold and plain statement. So I think we would limit that idea of speaking in parables to specifically, but not completely and totally, have to do with the kingdom of God. Jesus is using things of nature and things of society and culture in order to teach us about the kingdom of God. And this morning I believe he's teaching us concerning how truth is learned and how truth is applied and the many facets of it and the principles that guide it. Those principles that have to do with the kingdom of God. We know that Jesus explained the parable of the sower so that people could understand the response that people give to it. There are some people who pay little attention to the seed that's sown, that is, the truth of God's kingdom. They pay little attention. There are others who immediately are receptive to it, but after a little while, it's lost its glitter and they drift away and are caught up in other things. And there are also some who receive it deeply into their hearts and souls, and they're changed by it and they are guided by it. But after a period of time, life's problems set in on them, and they don't produce fruit. And there are some then, and I don't know that we can use this as any guide, one out of every four. I have noticed that in a church where there are about 400 members, usually about 100 people are the ones who carry on the work of God. You have a church with 100 people, about 25 are the ones who do the work of God. I don't know whether that's something to depend on or not, but I've just noticed that in my ministry, about a fourth of the people who are baptized and who are brought into a congregation, about a fourth usually are the ones who bear the burden and the heat of the day for doing the work of God. But as truth is learned, then there is something that should be done with this truth. Truth, and this is what I believe Jesus is teaching us in verse 21. That is, truth is light. It is not only seed sown, but when that seed comes up and produces, it is then light. And this light should be shared. For Jesus said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, that is, under a container? Is a candle created and lighted for the purpose of putting it under a bushel? These are rhetorical questions, and the answer is obvious. The answer is no. Or do you light a candle and put it under a couch or under a bed? The answer is obvious. Certainly we don't do that. But don't we put it on a candlestick? And I believe Jesus is saying, when you learn the truths that guide the kingdom of God, the principles by which it is operated, then don't simply hide these truths. That's not why you learn these truths, to hide them. But we are lighted as candles, and truth is a light, and therefore it should be put on a candlestick. And Jesus said to them in verse 22, there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Now that's not talking about our secret sins. That's not talking about the time that we stole something and we were never caught. It's not talking about some spurious gossip that we peddled to our neighbor and it wasn't true and we felt so deeply bad about it and guilty that we'll even be glad when God judges us for that at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not what we're talking about here. Jesus is saying, I will hide no truth from you that is necessary to your understanding and comprehension of the kingdom of God. Neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad. That is, I am exposing to you the secrets that are necessary. I am explaining the mysteries to you that have been keeping you from comprehending the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He's encouraging these people. If you're hearing the sounds that I make, if you're comprehending, then open your ears wider, open your heart wider, broaden the boundaries of your understanding. Do not look upon truth as having done its full work upon the simple hearing of it. You know, people who hear the Word of God, they're not justified, but people who hear and do the Word of God, they're the ones that are justified. So there are many more truths, I think, Jesus is saying, that will come to pass. And then Jesus said in verse 24, take heed what ye hear. My, what an exhortation. I think we could say today, take heed what you see, take heed what you hear, because there are so many voices in the world, there are so many things to see in the world, and I'm not talking about the sights we see on vacation, and Jesus isn't talking about the things we hear at the supper table. We're talking about religious conversation. We're talking about religious teaching. We're talking about religious preaching. And Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Be very, very careful what you let your ears entertain, for not every sound is of God, not every word is from God, not every prophet is from God. There are fake, false prophets in the world who by their preaching will lead you astray and cause you to forgo faithful service to Jesus Christ. Take and use all of your faculties. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Jesus then articulates one of the principles of hearing the truth about the kingdom of God. And that is, be very careful what you listen to. Be very careful of the person from whom it comes. And then open your heart to truth. When God is setting truth out to you, then use the largest vessel that you can possibly obtain. Do not narrow your heart. Do not narrow the reception of the truth, but broaden it, because this is what Jesus means. With what measure you meet, that is, with the measure you use, then that is either the limit are the very abundance of what you're going to have measured to you. So open your heart. Expand your mind. Let God give to you all the information that is available. And unto you that hear shall more be given. On that principle then, with that idea in mind, is set out the big container for the truth of God. Don't resist the truth of God. Accept the truth of God. And as you hear, that is, as you receive it, then God will simply expand that information and give you greater and greater understanding and comprehension. And then in verse 25, Jesus said, if you get the truth, then you will have more truth. If we don't use what God gives us, we'll lose what God gives us. For he that hath, to him shall be given. That is, if you have information and you hear information about the kingdom of God, you'll expand the amount of information you have. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. I think that is hearing the word of God and then the fowls of the air coming and simply carrying it off. It's then interpreted as a person hearing the word of God and then Satan coming and stealing it or carrying it off. So if you hear the truth and you don't receive it, you will lose the very impression that you initially had of that truth. So we need to be careful how we hear, that is, attentively. We need to be careful what we hear. Now, how does truth grow? That seems to be a puzzling principle. How does truth grow? How do we mature as Christian people? Well, I believe this parable that Jesus spoke, and as it's recorded in verse 26 through 29, is an indication of how truth grows. If not me and you, it's certainly how truth grows in the kingdom of God. So is the kingdom of God, verse 26. In other words, this is like the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground. Here's a person who's sowing seed. We know that the seed is the word of God. And then this person should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. I believe this, again, perhaps has two applications, but it has to do with truth. It's how truth grows in the kingdom of God, that is, the world, how it spreads, and also how it grows within us, the manner in which it increases in us. Notice that if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. Now notice, he knoweth not how. After you've sown the seed, then you have to leave it alone. If you are the sower of the seed, there is nothing you can do once you have sown the seed. Because the seed in the ground, the rain, the sun, all of these forces come to bear upon it, and you can do nothing but leave it alone. Because if you constantly open the soil to look at the seed, or you constantly pick the seed up to look at it to see how it's getting along, and I've done that as a child. Whenever Mother and Daddy planted their garden, they'd always let us get off to the side of the garden and have a little garden of our own, and they'd let us have a few seed of everything to plant it, and we'd take sticks and we'd identify what stuff was, and after we'd planted the garden one day, why, I usually went out the next day to see, well, really to pick something. You know, it's time to get whatever it is we sowed, and if there wasn't anything, I thought we'd done something wrong, so I'd open the ground, scratch into it, and find the seed, look at it, and hold it. Well, you know, you do that, and it's never going to come up. You cannot force it to grow. You cannot will it to grow. You cannot in any way increase the length of time. You can't decrease it that it takes to grow. Now, I know we understand a lot about agronomy in our age that we did not understand 20, 30, 40 years ago, but we have to look at the time in which this parable was spoken, and that is 2,000 years ago. And what Jesus is saying, you know how to prepare the soil, and you know how to plant seed, but after that, you have to leave it alone and let it do its own thing. And that's the way it is with truth, too. Whenever you speak the truth, you cannot invade a person's will. You cannot override their objections and make them love the truth or make them want the truth or make them let truth change them. Okay? You can buy and you can bribe and you can lie and you can manipulate, but none of this is growth. None of it will produce any fruit except bitter fruit. And I think that's very difficult for us sometimes, especially with our children. We want to see the fruit because we care so deeply. We hunger to see the fruit so badly that we would like to do more than let the course of spiritual principles take their full ramification. But notice, they sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. That is, this is the earth's business. This is to be left up to the soil now that you've done what you've done. And then there's the blade, that first breaking of the soil, and we get an indication that the seed is now growing. Then the ear, that is just the outline of the grain. And then there's the full corn. There's the wheat with all of its grain inside of it. And then it turns golden and the fruit is brought forth. And then you put in the sickle because the harvest is come. And I think the emphasis is this, to be patient. Let the earth do its thing. Let the seed do its thing. Let God do his thing. And then there will be fruit. And then that fruit can be harvested for the work and for the glory of God. Now, I said that applies in sowing the seed, and we can see it in other people. But then I think you need to see it in yourself also. You know, we get the idea that we just have this immediate and dynamic change whenever we're born again. But we're not born again as adults. That is, when we're born again, we're not born again in the kingdom of God as spiritual adults. The Bible is plain. We're born again as infants. And we need milk. And milk's what infants ought to be fed. And after that, we need solid food. That's what the word meat in the Bible means in the King James Version. It means simply solid food. And so we need to grow from infancy into spiritual maturity. And oftentimes the process is so slow, unmanageable that we may be growing and not know it. You know, we're sort of... You really want to get to be a certain height, and you mark you off a place on the wall, and boy, you just every day you measure yourself about four times, and you just seem like it's going to be forever, and finally you just get tired of doing it and forget about it, and next few months you come back and boy, you've already grown taller than the place you put on the wall. It's not something that you can do by anxiety. You can't do it by, as we say, a watched pot never boils. Well, it really does. I mean, I've proven that. I heard that all my life. A watched pot never boils. You know, the other day I just put one on and watched it, and it boiled. But it seemed like it's going to take forever, okay? That's the point. You can't make it boil because you want it to. It's got to go through the process of the fire. And same way with you. You want to be grown spiritually. I hope you do, that's one of your desires. But I can tell you, just wanting to be grown spiritually is not going to make you measure up to that full measure of Christ. You're going to find out from time to time, you're going to look at yourself and say, man, I backslid further than I was when I was born again. I'm never going to make that full stature, the image of Christ. But you have to let God, the Holy Spirit, the Word, the dynamics of truth take its full effect on you, and you will grow spiritually, and you will become more like Christ. But it'll be like a plant growing, taking the full measure of the time allotted to it by the creation of Almighty God. So you must have patience, not only for the word sown as we witness and work, but also as the seed is sown in your own heart. Give it time to work. Don't be disappointed that there is no immediate gathering of fruit in your life, at least to the extent that you desire and that you expect. I think that's a very important principle. Then in verse 30, Jesus has more rhetorical questions. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? And here these statements, comparison, are the statements of parable. And that's what Jesus spoke in. Here they're translated as comparisons. And so Jesus is saying, what parable can I use now to teach you more truths about the kingdom of God? It's though he's searching his mind and he's wanting to say, I'm searching, I'm seeking, I want to use a parable. I've got to find one that'll illustrate the truth to you that I want to teach you. And then he used this parable, verse 31. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Well, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now remember, this is talking about something that has to do with the kingdom of God. We're not talking about truth growing inside of us particularly. Now we're talking about the small beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Jesus taught exclusively to Israel, and at this time it is a small place, just Judah, and surely in comparison to the rest of the world, just a tiny, tiny nation. But it seems that Jesus taught his truths here in a area of 60, 70, 100 miles, which is indeed small, and the seed of a mustard plant is the smallest botanical seed that these people knew of, and it was used constantly as a means of comparing things. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a seed of a mustard when it's sown the earth. It's the smallest of all the seeds that we sow. But when it is sown, it groweth up. And when a mustard plant, and this is different to the mustard greens that we sow, but think of it this way. It is like a cotton plant. And you say, well, it grows up and then it dies down. Well, cotton plants don't die in zones where there's no frost. If you planted cotton in a temperate zone and there was no frost, it would just keep on growing until it got very, very large. And this is what Jesus is talking about. It's not something that comes up and dies down every fall when the weather begins to change and frost comes. This is something that continues to grow. Even though it is a herb, it still doesn't die down year to year. It is not an annual. It's perennial as to its nature. And what happens? Well, it grows great branches that extend out from it, and these branches are so large that birds can come and sit and perhaps feed off the seed that is in it. What could this possibly mean? Remember, it is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about, and I think he's talking about it being carried into all the world, that it begins so small and so insignificant, and it begins to expand and expand until it is greater than all the other religions that are in the Roman Empire at that particular time. And I don't think the birds resting in it have any meaning at all except to emphasize its growth and its strength. Now the Bible tells us, and with many such parables, spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. There is a capability. There is a capability that every individual possesses. There is a capability that every congregation possesses, made up of a corporate assembly of believers. That is the capability to hear the truth, to comprehend the truth, and not be offended by the truth. You remember that one of these people in the parable of the souls, that this person was offended by the word of God. And people can be offended by the truth. People can be offended by the word of God. And Jesus said that he spoke in parables, or Mark said that Jesus spoke in parables, and as he spoke in these parables, he had to limit himself to the amount and to the extent of revealed truth because they were not able to hear. And the word able here simply speaks of capability or capacity. I can be quite frank with you. I oftentimes dread preaching in other churches. Now you'd think, you know, well, Brother Penn, you're invited to preach at a church, certain place. And so I'm sure you're really excited and enthused and happy that people invite you to preach. Absolutely. But you know, I've found out that I have to be very careful. Do you know why I have to be very careful? Because I am accustomed to preaching to you. And to the very best of my ability, I give you the whole load. Okay? I tell you everything I know. I use different translations. I work from the Greek language as best I can, though I'm very limited in it. I read other translations. I do not spare anything that I know. I share it with you 100%. And oftentimes when I go into another congregation of people and do that, I really find these people shocked and oftentimes offended because I've just perhaps set a table of solid food before people who needed milk. And that's a very disturbing circumstance, to have truth that you want to share with people and yet you wonder if they're going to be overburdened by it, if you're going to offend them by the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the plan of salvation and things of that nature, but I'm talking about the kingdom of God and some of those things that are taught in parables that sometimes are difficult for us not only to understand, but difficult for us to accept and put into practice. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. The word expound means to untie and let loose. Just untie it and turn it loose, or to solve a problem. Turn over to the book in the math book and there's the solution, okay? Explain farther. And here's what happened. Jesus spoke parables to the multitudes. And some in the multitude heard the parable, and hearing they did not hear, and seeing they did not see. It made no impression on them at all, and Jesus did not bother to expound or explain the parable to them, because their initial contact with this particular truths or these particular truths was offensive to them or totally uninteresting. And so they walked away. Jesus let them walk away. They may have thought they understood. They might have not cared whether they understood or not, but then in the privacy of his mature disciples and the apostles, Jesus Christ expounded. He took the ties off of it, parabolic imagery. He took the ties off, he took the lid off, and he let it totally escape so that they could see it in its purity and in its fullness. I hope we can do that as God's people, that we can, according to our capability, not have to go around or shun any truths that are contained in the Word of God, but we can look each one of them in the face. We can look each one of them at its very core. We can comprehend it, and we can let it work its growth factor in us, to work its dynamics in us, so that we become well equipped concerning the truths about the kingdom of God and the peculiar truths that the Lord taught from time to time.